Welcome, welcome to Film Study Podcast with Lexi. I'm Lexi. I'm super happy because I have Kat Pettibone back on the podcast. You're going to hear our opinions, and if you agree, if you disagree, let us know in the comments. I'm sure you will anyway. And we welcome that. We welcome good discussions, respectful discussions. Like, subscribe, share, and let's jump into it.
Season 6, Episode 6, Connection.
Okay, so I've been changing it up and doing gradings instead of ratings this season. So if you could grade this episode A, B, C, D, whatever, A pluses, minuses are allowed as well. But what would you grade it and why?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. You know what? I'm going to give it a solid B.
Okay.
I think it's a good B, maybe a B plus. Maybe we're in that like 87 to 88 percentile there where we're like, maybe I round it up and give them a B plus for this one.
Yeah. That's good. Why?
You know, there was stuff that I really, really liked a lot. And then this is such a basic answer. There was stuff I liked and there was stuff I didn't like. There's a lot of interpersonal stuff that I really liked. As far as like the conversations and conflict that goes on between the relationships, but overarching arcs to me, and I'm sure we'll get into it, are just feeling a little overly drawn out and stale to me. Some way, in some aspects, some yes, some no. And then there were also moments that I felt like characters would have reacted differently normally than they did. So, but still like a solid episode. Cabin is always good. And it's always nice when like the core group, it's just them all together for the whole episode. I really always enjoy those episodes, those one-offs.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was a B plus. It was giving to me like an 88, 89. Yes. Okay. I think, again, I love Carrie as a writer. Carrie Gutenberg, I think she changed her name, Carrie Eddy. But love her as a writer. I feel like she always delivers good shows. And it was like, I appreciated because things have felt a little dragged out this season. Storylines have felt a little dragged out, story arcs, that we started to move forward in some of this. Like Spencer and Jordan are now, I think, resolved. Spencer and Olivia have now addressed the major, I think, elephant in terms of like London and coming back and reconnecting. And then this whole thing with Layla's medications like has finally moved forward the story. So I appreciated things moving forward and also like a lot of the interpersonal stuff. So it's like pretty close to an A, but the reason I didn't give it an A is because just the part with Laura, I felt it was nice. I think it was well executed. I just wouldn't have preferred that story in the short amount of time that we have in this season. But let's get into deeper into Laura. So Laura's mom is visiting, and basically her mom and Willie try to hatch this plan to have to have Laura start dating again, develop an online profile. And yeah, it was interesting, but yeah, Willie was suddenly back from Florida, and they encourage Laura, I think, to have fun with her life, not be as lonely. And Laura eventually decides that even though she's not ready for online dating at this moment, that it's something that she can consider now that it's been nearly 2 years since Billy passed away. What did you think about that?
You know, I'm pretty split down the middle because I really did like the line where she's like, my life is full. Like, I have all these things. I don't necessarily need romantic love right now, because I think that that's very valid. And it's something I felt in my life. I'm like, your life can be extremely full, and you can be in a chapter of your life, especially when your spouse of decades dies, you know, where you're like, I'm okay without it. And I think just the fact that she is enjoying her life at all while having to grieve the loss of her husband is like so emotionally healthy and wonderful that that's something to, you shouldn't push it if you're happy where you are, you know. At the same time, I think that, you know, as long as she wants to have fun, and it is okay to fall in love again, like 100% if that's what she wants. I just don't think she needs to be pushed into it. I also think it's like a very big deal. Like even just casually dating after you've been married for decades is huge. So I agree with you in the sense that this isn't necessarily something that deserved like a C plot of the episode, and maybe it'll continue on throughout the rest of the season, which is great. But there's so many factors to consider, and that's such a complex situation that I feel like we could have spent more time with it. And I definitely hope that whatever happens, we bring Jordan and Olivia and their feelings into it as well, because it's a whole family thing.
Oh, yes, and I just, for me, I didn't understand why we were utilizing the grandparents in this way, especially because we haven't gotten them much around. Like, we've gotten Willie talking to Grace about Billy's death in that one episode more than we've gotten any sort of interaction with him and Liv, or like he had that one small scene with Jordan. But it just feels, I don't know, it, to me, this episode or this specific plot line felt a little odd to me, specifically because, first of all, they're hyping Billy up post-death. They've been hyping Billy up way more than I think he deserves sometimes. But so that's one thing, and they're like making him this like mythical figure that is just amazing and did no wrong and all of these things, and so it feels like Laura can't move on this fast even though some time has passed. And then the second is just that I wish that we had seen Wendy with Liv and Jordan a little bit more, because we heard it from her, right? Like, oh, it's been great to be with you and the kids. But we haven't seen that. We haven't even seen Laura with her children. Like, I don't understand the fact that we have not been seeing this Baker family dynamic without Billy. I was surprised about that. I feel like they did a good job of it in the early grief episodes, but once those were over, they sort of abandoned the Baker family dynamic, period. And we just haven't gotten a lot of them together as a Baker family. So I think I just would have liked to see this spread out a little bit more, them sort of leverage their guest stars better, I think, to include Liv and Jordan. Because what does Grandpa Willie think of Jordan being engaged again? Like, we don't even know. Does he even know? I don't know.
What I think would have been really good is, what is Grace and Laura's friend's name that is so funny that also
Denise, love her.
It would have been great if like Denise, Grace, and Laura were out for a night and they had sort
of
BFF conversation over drinks about like a guy being cute and Laura being like, yeah, like she maybe is eyeing a guy, but then she's like, no. And then they kind of have like a casual conversation. Laura starts thinking about it, and then maybe she brings it to Liv and Jordan. Obviously they were busy in this episode, but we could have moved it to a different episode. And then maybe like one of the twins is for it and the other one is not. And then that's a discussion, because again, like I said, both sides are very valid. Like as a child, I would think like thinking, yeah, I want my mom to move on, I'm cool with it, is fine. But also being like, I'm hesitant and that's weird, also fine. So that would have been like a really interesting way to bring it about. Not anything against the guest stars we had, but that just would have felt more natural to me, maybe.
Yeah, same. And even again, like leveraging these guest stars in a different way. So what if it was that Liv was interviewing Willie and we got to see them connect for the first time about Billy's book, because she got Grace's perspective, but Willie knew things that Grace didn't even know about Billy. So it was just very interesting how that worked out. Even though I do appreciate, I think Wendy brings a little fun dynamic to the grandparents. So
yeah, I agree.
She's always fun.
I agree. Yeah.
But I was a little weirded out that then Wendy sort of invited herself, kind of to Florida. I don't know. I was just like, I don't think. Oh, that's not. I don't know. I just. It was a little. It gave me pause. But that was that storyline. And then we shift into the cabin, and we'll get into like why they were in the at the cabin. Basically, it was a Spencer thing. He needed time to do his project, but wanted to get away. Then Coop ended up inviting herself and Patience, and then Liv invited Jordan and Layla. So that's sort of how that all happened. But anyway, they're all at the cabin, all helping Spencer with his book after Coop ruined the Wi-Fi. Turn the Wi-Fi off. And with Coop and Patience specifically, Patience tells Coop that she's just been really amped up about this Miko case and that it's really getting to her, and so she wanted to get away from the craziness. And when they start helping Spencer with this project of his and these case studies of his, they sort of act as like a friendship slash relationship, romantic relationship. I don't know. It wasn't clear. Obviously, we know where they end at the episode, but they start helping him and they talk about their goals. Patience wants to get back into music. She wants to buy a house. She and Coop connect on that. Coop wants to pass the bar and graduate. When they get into this like connection part of the case study, they are like really vibing, really staring each other down. Mm-hmm. And then they end up talking about trust and communication. And Layla gives Patience advice about, you know, how to talk to Coop. Because the last time it didn't go so well and Coop rejected her. But I think it's, I don't know. What were your thoughts on this story? Obviously they end up back together, but yeah. What do you think about their journey in this episode?
You know, I agree. I mean, to me, Coop did the right thing. And I think in the moment when she turned Patience down, like, I do think that it was the right, because, you know, I understand, like, you've been drinking. Mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable. That's totally okay. And I think that Patience understands that now, which is great. I am glad to see, like you said before, the story moving forward. I'm fine with them getting back together. Like, obviously, it's been coming for a while. I'm going to be honest, my only issue is this Miko storyline. I am we haven't even seen Miko. It's such a fragmented storyline. It's like, it's almost like we're drawing it out to get to a conclusion that we want to get to at the back half of the season, but we need to keep reminding the audience that it's happening. So, but nothing is really happening. We're churning in place. And I just wish we would focus on it. Even if it means like, I don't know. Like, I just want to see it move forward a little bit more. But
yeah, give it its just due, because then you get random things like Miko trying to do this go the self-defense route, or her lawyer's trying to go the self-defense route, which makes no sense to me. Like, I'm just very confused. I feel like, you know, the ring cam footage being thrown out and now this self-defense arc and making Patience out to be a villain. Like, this feels very, all of it has felt very forced when we get new things about this case.
Yes, it feels all very forced. It's almost like we can't think of anything new to give Patience this season. So let's just, not that I'm slamming the writers. I love the writers, love the show. But it's just like, give her something, or I don't know. It just feels almost like repetitive. And mm-hmm. I don't feel like it has enough of like a laser focus to like.
It doesn't have legs to me.
There's really no legs happening here. And it's just kind of all over the place. I think that like, even Layla and Patience having more communication about how they can relate to each other on this situation, because Layla went through everything with that other girl and that could be used more. Anyway, just not a huge fan of that storyline. But as far as Patience and Coop, like, I like them together and I hope that they've grown and it seems like they are communicating better now. And I hope if they're going to do this the second time around, they just learn from their past.
You'd be the fourth time around.
Trying to be gracious here, but yeah.
obviously, I've made no secret about my dislike of this couple, and it's always interesting because I thought that the writers were taking a bit of a turn when it came to them and saying, like, you know, Patience was just looking for a good time or whatever a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
And now it's started to turn into this sort of narrative that Coop had in her head of like, oh yeah, I didn't want to bring it there. And I just, why is Patience always thirsty for Coop? I don't understand. I don't really think that they've grown.
That's so fair.
I just don't like, and in this episode too, their connection, I'm rewatching it, their connection was, oh, you want to buy a house? I want to buy a house too. Like, none of their actual issues have been solved. It's just that they haven't been together and they've learned how to sort of kind of be friends. Like, that's it. But none of the, like, Coop jealousy thing or, you know, the writers love it.
Here's the
issue. So if they love it.
Here's the issue with the time jump, though, because I feel like some of these things happen in the time jump that we don't see. And because we don't get to see it, it's not resonating for us as an audience, if that makes sense.
That's like, true. That's true. And Patience was supposed to have been gone. Like, was it like in New York for yeah, that true. Whole, for almost that whole time too. Yeah. So yeah, I do agree with you. There's like points of connection, not to make that sort of a joke, but there's points of connection in this story that just haven't landed post time jump that I'm really surprised. I thought that they would, I thought that we would get a little bit of a fuller picture in the year and a half mm-hmm. or so that we missed, the what was it, 15 months that we missed. But yeah, it hasn't happened yet, and I think, I don't know if we will get the full picture, full extent of like that missing, those missing months.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So that was Patience and Coop. Jordan and Layla. They make me smile.
I know.
They make me smile. I just
Layla defenders right here for days.
Such a hard defender of them. And it's just, well, I'll talk about it when we get to the moment, but they just made me smile. I will say, well, and they started out the episode hot and heavy. I was just like, what? Man, I'm on the couch until the roommates.
I know, making out.
Until the roommates come in, like, throw things, which is crazy. But what I thought was interesting about, what's her name? Carissa and Greg. What I thought was interesting about them is that throwing things and yelling, Layla says, if that's ever us, we're calling it. And that's sort of a, not a direct comparison, but it kind of sort of alludes to the end, the very end of the episode with like the throwing things bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you? I was just surprised because I was just like, they don't have problems like Charissa and Greg were having problems. It's very different problems. And I don't think that, like, in the episode, their problem was kind of sort of with each other. After the medication secret was revealed, but it wasn't like they weren't going constantly at it. So I just thought it was interesting that the writers were making a comparison between Charissa and Greg to Jordan and Layla. What did you think about that?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I guess the way I saw it is like her throwing things has nothing to do with Jordan, because it's obviously like an effective
something else.
Coming yeah. off the fence, obviously. I mean, and listen, I'm not a doctor, but I don't know. It feels almost like depression affects everybody differently, but I think she was just diagnosed with depression the first time around, if I remember correctly. And mm-hmm. I feel like that kind of behavior, possibly we could be going into like a bipolar story for her.
That's what I've been thinking, but I'm not sure if the writers are going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, and maybe it's just a different aspect of how depression affects some people. That's not typically mm-hmm. what we see on screen of how somebody reacts when like, and she did even the first time have a lot of like manic moments. So I mean, I would be really interested to see if that's like where they went with it. But yeah, for me, it was more like that was about Layla, obviously, and what's going on within her. I hope moving forward, I don't know. I feel like there is more conflict because, again, if we remember before how she reacted before she got on her meds, she could turn things just, I mean, of no fault of her own, obviously, but it could cause more conflict between them. But I don't know.
So to get into their part of the story, Liv invites them. Layla's all for it. Jordan is very, very vocally not for this. He was very vocally not for this the entire episode. Listen, he was making quips all day.
It was, I am number one Jordan defender. Always have been, always will be. But he was a baby. Like, I was like, man, yeah. Up, like it was funny, yeah. But at some point, I was just like, okay, just shut up, like, and yeah, go,
exactly.
And just, you know, like you're being like a child, and it was obnoxious. So you heard it here first. He annoyed me.
It was. And when we come back around to Spencer and Jordan specifically, remind me, because there's something I want to say on that about okay. being obnoxious. But before, he was trying to watch the game. Layla was trying to send him signals. That little cute, like, come yeah. on. And they had a lot of cute moments, surprisingly, for how tense this episode is, which is something else I want to say about this episode. I was surprised that the episode, to me, felt like it started off tense. Like, it didn't work its way to tense. It really was just, like, tense, and then, like, the resolution was just like, okay, things are deflating before, obviously, the end, and we got that, like, the lounge and the Miko case and whatever else, like, brought it back up to the cliffhangers, but it felt like it was steadily tense, 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 and then it was just like, okay, we're coming back down, which I thought was interesting. I don't think that's usually how All American does things.
Yeah, I agree. I actually thought it was really a smart move because you have so many different things going on in this episode. You don't really have the time to, like, go from everything's cool and we're building, 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 and then we're coming back down and then we're building. Like, there's just no time for that. So it's like, let's just start off right off the gate that things are tense. It's carrying over. And then, you know, we'll work from there. And I think that that made the episode, or helped the episode, not feel like overstuffed or rushed in
anything. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And so they go to the cabin. Obviously, they go to the cabin. He's trying to watch the game. Their end of this, their part of the case study, I'd say, is that with the goals, right, Jordan's goals were to marry Layla, to have a family with Layla, to win a championship. And everybody in the room acknowledged what we all acknowledge all the time off screen, is that Jordan is obsessed with Layla. And I love that for him. I love that for her too. Exactly, she loves it, so listen, we're cool with it. But her goals were to get the club off the ground, sign 3 new artists, marry Jordan, and some other stuff. And that's when Patience says, you know, you basically, you're so goal oriented that it's no wonder, like, Ryan told you to cool it on the meds or whatever. And so that's how the bomb drops. This happened pretty early on in the episode, so it wasn't how I expected it to come. I expected it to come a little later, but then, you know, obviously Jordan gets upset because he's like, you stopped your meds that you've been managing with your doctor because Ryan said so. And that's when all of this was revealed. And so as they shift into the connection part of the case study, Jordan makes, I will say, this one was funny when he said, I feel weird replacing Ryan as your partner.
Yeah. Actually, I
think he kind of ate her up.
Everything he said about Ryan, to me, I hate Ryan. I think he's a horrible character. So, like, I'm just like, yes, Jordan, speak on it more. And I completely agree with Jordan in this instance. I understand why Layla is defensive, because it's a very personal thing when it comes to mental health. But, like, he's so right that he has a right to know, and he should know, for her health, for her safety. And Ryan is literally nobody, knows nothing. Like, what do we even know about this person? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he's
giving her horrible advice.
There's some theories about him too. Like, is he connected to Miko? I feel like that's a possibility, but I also feel like sometimes characters are just there.
Yeah.
They're kind of like a cog. Like, exactly. There's no, like, overarching thing. Like, he doesn't have to be connected. I just think Ryan's, like, a boring, like, he's just a flat character. He's just, there really is no purpose other than to move this Layla's medications storyline along.
Yeah. And again, the time jump, we move back into Layla already knowing this person. And it's just like,
right,
we don't know this person. So, and maybe that's the point, but I'm just like, I don't know. I honestly would rather her just decide to go off her meds by herself. Like, why can't she make that decision?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And it was interesting. And I know you and I have talked about this, and then you talked about it on the timeline. We just talked about it before we hopped on, but that no one else besides Jordan had this reaction to Layla being off of her meds. And that's something that was confusing to me. Specifically around, obviously, because Liv is her best friend, that was interesting that Liv didn't, that the camera didn't at least pan to Liv's reaction was weird to me, for that whole medication thing. But also that, like, throughout the rest of the episode, Coop, Spencer, obviously we know Patience didn't care, but Coop and Spencer didn't have any sort of reaction to Layla being off her bed. Like, I don't know, it was just weird. y'all are just cool. You just think Layla got it? Okay.
Yeah, it's honestly bonkers to me. And again, like, I am not slamming the character as, like, a person in the universe. I'm just saying, writing wise, it didn't make sense to me that nobody cared, that nobody said anything. Because to me, like, first of all, Patience, starting with Patience, like, Patience and Layla are supposed to be really close. We've gotten like a million scenes with them this season. Like, they're supposed to be very good friends. So that confused me. Also, I've mentioned Liv specifically only because, one, supposed to be her best friend. But also, just like, Liv to me is really emotionally intelligent like that. She's been through something not exactly the same, but through something similar. Like, she understands like the fluctuation of emotions that can come with mental health, with everything she deals with addiction. So it just felt like just a little something from the friends that isn't just like looking at them like, oh my God, they're fighting, and is more just like, I'm concerned for like this person that we love. I just felt like that could have been integrated because it felt out of character for nobody.
Yes.
Because everybody, yes. Liv is such a good friend. She is such a good person. And she does know Layla so well that I just felt like, that she would normally in that situation at least react a little bit, you know?
No, I completely agree. And I think that part of why it's so off is because Layla also has talked to Liv about this before in terms of her depression, because like Liv went to go visit her when she was in rehab, in the mental health facility and things like that. And so Spencer, who's studying psychology, like, I think that this would have been interesting for him if he wants to become a therapist. And so I guess it was just the lackadaisical response. Like you said, people were just, they didn't have a reaction to this. And I was very, very surprised about that.
Honestly, even if you're so right with Spencer and psychology, that's such a good point. Like, honestly, even if during Liv and Spencer's conversation, they had talked about it with each other and had just been like, wait, that's concerning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad Jordan said something or something like that. Just a little something like that would have made more sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And part of the reason that the writers chose Patience to be the one to find out first is because she is a ditzy character. And it was sort of alluded. So when we get back to Jordan and Layla, like, they get into connection and, you know, Jordan calls out that he was like, he thought that something was off with her, but he wanted to give her the space to tell him on her own. And then, like you said, she really talks about, and she is valid for this, right? That she doesn't have to necessarily tell him what she's doing with her own body, which is valid. But it's also that, which Patience tells her later, like, this is your life partner, so you might want to communicate with him. And just talk to him and tell him what's going on with you when you're making sort of major life choices like this. And so it was just, oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just really want to quickly say, like, it's also not just because I didn't feel like Jordan was saying you shouldn't do that. He never said that.
Right.
It's more of the fact that, like, waning off medication like that and not having a doctor involved, that's my issue with it. And it's like, you can die. Like, you can stroke out and die. So it's just like, there are so many horrible things that could happen if you're doing that and you're not doing it correctly, especially if she's been on it for years.
Since high school, she's like almost 21. Like, this
exactly,
is crazy.
Like, not just mentally, but physically. And like, so I don't think he was saying like, you shouldn't be doing this with your body. You need my permission. Like, I think he was just saying, that's really, if this is something that you're going to do, like, you need to do it correctly, because I love you and I care about you and I want you to be okay and safe about it, you know?
The fact that Patience brought up that it was Ryan too is like, oh, Ryan helped you do this, and Ryan doesn't know her like that. So it's also just, you made this, the way it came out was that she just made this decision because it was a suggestion from Ryan, and there really was no, because honestly, and that's what, and I know that she came back later and said, oh, I didn't make this because of Ryan, but I don't think she would have considered this had he not said something. And obviously it was later because she realized, oh, the medications are sort of what's making me feel sort of off or whatever. But obviously Ryan was a catalyst to this all coming about. And so I think that Jordan was pretty valid in bringing that up.
I completely agree. I'm glad that she said that she's going to talk to a doctor though, but at the end of the episode now, I don't know. The story is not just done. I don't think she's just going to go to a doctor and all goods, we're wrapping this up. This seems like the start of something.
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel like it's going to be the start of something. And I was glad that she said that she was going to talk to a doctor. And looping back around to that point of why she told Patience, because Patience is a ditz, because she wouldn't have called her out, and she didn't call her out on doing this without a doctor. And as soon as it came out, she was just like, yeah, okay, I think it's time to, for me to start calling the doctor or calling my doctor and getting on a real plan. And that's part of the reason why I think it's interesting. Again, just that the writers didn't make that, like, they said it in the dialogue, but they didn't make like an explicit connection to like, yeah, okay, now hearing what you have to say, Jordan, is making me consider, you know, actually talking to my doctor, because I think that is part of the reason why she hid it from him as well.
Totally agreed.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. And it was interesting. And I also wish that they had just, I love that they had Jordan ask her at the top, like, have you taken your medication? But I also wish that we had gotten that in like a random episode before now.
Yeah, just like thinking ahead, like, oh, this is going to be. Yeah. But I do think the way that it was played, at least if we're going to do it now, was very like, this is something that he asks her often.
Yeah, this is casual.
That's what I got, just from like how it was delivered, which was, yeah, I agree. Really, really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely with you. And we got the, oh my gosh, the adorable scene where she says that she wants to set a date, which I just.
That made me
so I was laughing, giggling, kicking my feet.
I was so worried at the beginning of the season. I was like, oh my God, is this going to be like a thing where she doesn't actually want to get married and blah, blah, blah. But it looks like she really does. Like, it was just truly like a couple bumps in the road. She had other things on her mind. Obviously, she's going through stuff. So it looks like, because I was like, is this going to be, they're going to end up like being like, we're not, you know? I'm like, no, they need to stay together.
I always knew that she wanted to get married, but what gave me pause is when she was running through the list of her goals and she said, and then marry Jordan. And I'm so glad that like that was actually written down, because I was just like, the writers were playing around a little bit when she started listing off this career stuff.
They were. But also, I mean, so I was just like, because of all those goals, I also wonder, I don't know, like, and then I'll drop this completely, but it just also feels like maybe a little manic. Like maybe we're
agreed.
Delve into more like of a more complex diagnosis for her. I don't know. I'm interested to see where this is my, weirdly enough,
I mean,
like
buying the lounge, exactly. List,
so
I agree. And it is very interesting, because I think that we've seen this pattern of behavior with her before, obviously before she even got on medication, but she would go into these like manic states of like buying a lot of things and then like trashing her hotel room and things like that. Which, you know, once they get, they're good for now, right, at the end of this episode, set a date. Jordan gets in the playoffs, and so that's really good news that they celebrate. Yeah. They find out that Greg and Teresa break up, and then they go to the lounge, and we get the lounge being broken into, and Layla says, like, why does this keep happening to me? Why can't I get a moment of happiness in my life? And I was just like, see, Layla, you're asking that question, and my question is, why do the writers always have Layla breaking glass, like, every two seasons? we get Layla, like, destroying something. Like, obviously, the lounge was already broken, but she was like, let me do some more. And I loved it, but I'm just like, wow, they really won't let you rest every two seasons.
Truly will not. They truly will not.
It's like, oh, she hasn't thrown something somewhere. Let's give it that again.
We gotta write it in this season, I guess.
Yes, yes. But with I will say, that yelp before she threw the glass, I was just like, oh, I was just like, okay, Greta, I see you.
I remember the first time we went through the storyline, I was floored by her performance. I thought she did an incredible job with it. And I bet as an actress, she probably really liked to like get to play like different facets of that character, just because, you know, early Layla is very like stagnant. So yeah, she serves when asked to serve.
Yeah. She does. And this time around, it felt much more, I think, in comparison to her other breakdowns, it felt more just like, I'm done. Yeah. Like, this is it. Like, it's not even like an emotional high. It's just like, again, like, why does this keep happening to me? So
yeah,
thought it was really good. And obviously we left sort of on that cliffhanger. But getting into Spolivia, the other couple that we love. I think that, like, maybe I'm in the minority with this, but I just really appreciate what they've taken Spolivia through this season, because it feels very real. It feels very real for them. And I feel like they actually are having to and deciding to really, which is the difference, sit down and talk through some of the issues that they have. And I think, like, I think Sam said this quote before the season premiered, but like, come together in a beautiful way. And that's how I feel just every time I see them on screen now, is that they're really growing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love this storyline for them. I think it's one of the storylines that feels very fresh, despite them being a couple that's been together on and off for years. It's interesting. It's complex. Like you said, it feels very realistic. It's something that absolutely could happen in life and does happen to many people. And I think that through it, we are really seeing the growth as characters. The way that they handle this situation is like truly beautiful and so like emotionally intelligent. And I love every single facet of it. I think it's a great story.
Especially from Spencer. Those psychology classes, that 15 months of psychology class is paying off for him.
Yes.
Totally. I know. Listen, people would get on me for how I would get on Spencer sometimes in this relationship, but I really just like am stopping to applaud his growth. Obviously, I love Liv. I'm going to defend Liv. And I think that she has a lot to work on. But I think when it came to their relationship, Spencer's reacting in a way that shows growth and maturity from him. And part of that is that, like, their end of this episode was that, you know, he is deciding, like, hey, I can't control things with the Sonoma game. All I can control is, like, what's right in front of me. So when he's working on this project, he, like, just decides to focus in on this project. They had a really funny conversation when the friends first decided to help him, that when he was telling them about the goals, they were just like, Spencer is not that deep. And he was like, no, it is that deep. And they're like, no, it's very deep. It's very deep. And I just love that they're starting to mess with him about that, because Spencer is a very deep person. Like, he takes everything very, very seriously.
He's a very intense person. Yes.
He is a very intense person. But I feel like, with his intensity, I appreciate that things like when Liv tells him about that she finished the first draft of her book, and he says, like, can I read it? She responds, like, she's not ready for him to read it yet. And he just accepts that. And he says, okay. Totally. And even though he brings up Ashley, it's in a way that's just like, can we find time to talk about this? Then he invites her to the cabin to have alone time to talk about it. And then when they're finally talking about their goals and what they want to do, obviously he says he wants GAU to make it to the playoffs, he wants to finish his degree, like he told Coop, and that he wants to get drafted. And then Liv drops the bomb. Obviously she was saying like other things, like she wants to publish the book and she wants to graduate college, but then she's like, I want to live in London. And I'm just like,
yeah,
okay, girl.
Yeah, I mean, I think they both flub there, because yeah, Spencer should have definitely, the fact that I think Coop makes a point when she's like, do you guys even know each other at all? Like, they obviously do know each other on a very intimate level. I'm definitely not saying that, but like, it is kind of crazy that like these big things that they're making decisions about in their life, like she didn't even know that he was going to graduate early now. That's kind of crazy, because that involves taking more classes and doing more things. So how does she not know that? Like, that's kind of crazy that he didn't let her know. But then on the same end, like the fact that, oh yeah, I just want to move across the world again, by the way, with this, you know, where this guy that we're obviously having tension over lives. So, and we haven't even talked about that yet, but I'm going to go ahead and say it out loud in front of a whole room. Cool, like that. I mean, both of those moves, I was just like, oh boy, they really need to talk. And I'm so glad they did.
And the thing is, with the move specifically to London, is I don't want to have to keep saying this, but I always talk about things sometimes not feeling earned, or specific plot points not feeling earned. I still think that London is one of those plot points. And maybe I'm just putting on a biased lens or something, but I don't feel like Olivia has like, she enjoys the person that she was in London, but a lot of that is just like getting a break from thinking about her dad, getting a break from having to be around her family where she's forced to think about her dad. Like, it was very connected to the loss of her father. And so I just don't think that we've set up like why London specifically is the place that she wants to be, other than it's just somewhere outside of Beverly Hills that she can just like not think about the loss that she experienced.
Yeah, I think, again, I'm gonna, and you know, it's funny, it probably sounds like I hate time jumps. I actually think that they are really, really great. I think when One Tree Hill did it, it was like the best thing they could have done and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I do love a good time jump, but I do think in this case, flashbacks would be really, really beneficial here for Liv's story. Yeah. Because I agree. On one hand, I understand the idea of moving to a new city and just feeling like you found home. And growing there in a way that you wouldn't be able to in your hometown otherwise, even if your hometown is Beverly Hills in Los Angeles, California. I think that that's totally possible, that that is actually what's happening. And she needed to get out to both grieve her dad, but also grow as a person. And she says, right. You know, I'm the Liv I am in London is this totally different person. That's awesome. Let's see that as an audience. Who is it then? Like, take us there. Let us show us. You know, if I have to watch a couple scenes with you and Ashley, that's fine. I like his face. His face is very handsome. I can see some scenes. Yes. You know, I'm a Spolivia truther, but like, give me those moments. Give me how you met Ashley. Give me how you – show me you deciding to do the book. Show me the moment that London clicked for you. I do think flashbacks mm-hmm. would be really good in this situation.
Yeah, and honestly, as you're saying that, it's really giving to me is this is an instance of show, not tell us about this, because I think even in her scenes with Ashley so far, even though, again, I enjoyed looking at him on screen, and I do see that the familiarity with them. So I think that the both of the actors did a really good job of I think showing that they have at least friendship chemistry.
Yes, their friendship does feel lived in. Yes. Kudos to them for that performance. Yeah.
But also, Ashley was talking about, oh, you're not the same Liv who I met in London. So even when we're getting Ashley, it's in exactly, we're getting references to this other version of Liv, and I'm just not seeing it, because right now to the audience, the other version of Liv is just a person who hid the fact that Ashley was a man. Like, I don't, this is all we're getting. Obviously, she did other stuff, right? And we obviously sense a maturity in her. But in terms of this specific London Liv, we really don't know who she is. I mean, it's giving the Mariah Carey, like, I don't know her.
Totally. No. And the thing is, like, the idea of I love this place, but I also love this human. So my heart is ripped into on what I want my future to be is so interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so interesting to watch a character go through. But then but for me, I'm like, we'll stay there because I know Spencer. I love Spencer. I love Liv and Spencer together. I root for Spencer, obviously. I can't root for London. I can't root for Liv in London if I don't see what that's doing for her life. So yeah, I totally agree. We need to be shown what that is.
Right. And so when they get to the connection point of that, Spencer and Liv really, and this is where I really sense the disconnect, which I think that in this they did a good job of establishing the disconnect, just in hearing like he didn't tell her about the accelerated degree program. She didn't even know who Dion was, and I think that I was shocked about that when she said, who the hell is Dion?
I mean, yeah,
I was like, girl, you don't know.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So I think, again, like, in retrospect, they did a really good job of showing the audience, like, oh, they haven't really been talking. Because one of my questions coming into this episode was, they've been fine. Their only issue has been now Ashley and figuring out, like, sort of that, like, you know, she hid the fact that Ashley was a guy to Spencer and to the rest of the group. And that had been their main problem. But this episode then revealed, I think, some things to us that they just really haven't been talking as they used to. So Liv says we need to talk. Spencer, this is a really great scene for the two of them. But Spencer says they haven't connected since she's been back, that things have just been surfaced, that she has an intimacy with Ashley that she doesn't have with anybody else. She says that she doesn't know why that is, but then he tells her, like, deep down, like, that she knew that the friendship was a little problematic. And so they really have a chance just apart after it ends on that sort of awkward moment. And then obviously the case study relationships switch around. And so Coop has a chance to talk to Liv about it. And like you said, she's just like, you two are two different people and you're not really connecting. And she encourages Liv that just like spending a year apart is very hard, but that her and Spencer need to talk. I think Jordan reiterates that to Spencer as well, that they need to get beyond the surface level things. And I think that they just had to come to an understanding, like, yeah, we spent a year apart. Yeah, Liv is kind of sort of concerned about, which I love that they added this line in there, kind of sort of concerned about, like, the last time it felt like this, Spencer broke up with me, because people forget that Spencer broke up with her.
Totally.
So I'm glad, so glad that Carrie added that in, and that that's a reason why she was so hesitant about everything. But they then have a conversation at the end of it that says, like, you know, once Spencer, first of all, figures out that, like, relationships are about connection, hint, hint, Jordan. But they have a conversation. Liv tells Spencer that he was right, that she got a break from the toughness of L.A., and that she should have really just, like, she should have established boundaries in her relationship with Ashley. But and even though London is a place that she loves, Spencer is who she loves, which I just really appreciated that conversation. Like, they've been having such good ending conversations and good, I don't know. It's just, they're talking about good things. And like you said, this storyline, the story arc between them is really fresh and new. And I think is really exciting to see them sort of grow back together. And so at the end of that, they decide to come up with a relationship bucket list, which I love. So they're going to eat carbs. They're going to do the cold plunge. They're going to do ballet and some other stuff. But what did you think about how they ended that?
Oh, I loved it. The scene with them at the cabin is maybe my favorite scene of season six so far. I think it is. I think that Sam and Daniel do, I mean, they're always incredible, but it is just such a beautiful scene. It is so well performed. It is so well written. It shows so much growth. I feel like I've said that word 100 times, but it's just like, I completely empathize with Spencer. He's not wrong. Like, I like that he said, you know, I'm genuinely glad that you found somebody in London, because I couldn't be there for you. And it's earnest. Like, you believe him that he means that, you know? And I don't think that if there hadn't been a boundary crossed, that he would have had any problem with it being a man.
Right.
You know? But because there was that, like, problematic intimacy, I guess, as he says, that's where, like, I shouldn't be feeling like a third wheel when I'm with you and another person, when I'm supposed to be like your person. I just think that is such like an elevated way to think of it and present it in an mature way. And I think that she received it really well. She apologized.
Yeah.
And she explained herself. And when he says, like, you deep down know, like, that it was, she doesn't try and fight back. She just kind of accepts that and sits with it. And it's just like so good. And then, you know, they really do like hear each other. And then by the end, they're making that bucket list and deciding on things they're going to do together to make sure this doesn't continue. And it's just like, it's all so good. I loved it so much.
Yeah. Sharing the journal. And I, I love that. I think in the past, like, they would just have these things and let like that resentment fester, but even after that very tough conversation that they had at the cabin, he came back, and this was their first discussion that we saw on screen after that discussion, but he came back and was just like, hey, I want to give you this journal, one of my journals that I wrote when you were in London. And I think that's like the growth that I'm seeing in Spencer, is that he's not like demanding, right? Or he's not like really frustrated that she isn't opening up. He's just like naming, like, hey, I would love for you to open up more, but you're gonna do that on your own time, and I'm still gonna love you. And then she ends up, right, she had already, you know, brought in after this conversation in the cabin the first draft of the book. So it's, I just really appreciate that, like you said, from the two of them. It's been really great to see. And then Spencer and Jordan got a resolution too. In terms of, they finally talk about it. Spencer apologizes for, I cannot lie, I laughed at this line, or when he says, our beef on the field shouldn't impact our brotherhood off the field. I was just like, there you go, being super intense, Spencer, I love it. But he does apologize to Jordan, who exit on a little bit, and then he's just like, yeah, I accept your apology, appreciate your apology, I will never let you live down that missed tackle, though. And what I wanted to say about this relationship, I'm glad that they finally resolved this conflict that they're having. I just wish that, to your point, Jordan got, it just got whiny. Like, it didn't feel justified. And I wish that they had shown in some sort of a way that the reason that Jordan was so angry this time around was specifically because of everything that had built up but the last game and Spencer missing that block. Because I think before that game, Spencer was fine and he was like understanding. He was just like, you know, I get that Spencer's frustrated. I get his frustrations and not being a bigger part of the offense, but it was really that last game that turned the tide. And I just don't think that they, like, that connection was strong enough to show Jordan being as rude as he was throughout this episode. It just felt like he was just whining the whole episode.
Yeah. I actually like this storyline. I wasn't tired of it. I think that there has been like an underlying sense of tension, even though they genuinely are like brothers and friends. Just because of the Billy of it all has really been something that goes back to season one. So honestly think we could have maybe dug even a little deeper into this and gone, I think the apology, not on Spencer's part, I just mean like the scene itself or just the story, we could have gone deeper. It was a little too surface for me, but at the same time, I'm glad that they worked it out. And I do want to see, especially because we might be ending the show soon, I do want to see them, you know, really just finish things out together. That's the most important thing. So like, that's fine. And I get that. I've said the whole season that I agree with Jordan. I think that he had a right to, you know, everything he's been doing with the new coach and having his coach after everything with Billy and feeling kind of second string to his own dad and stuff like that. Of no fault of Spencer's, but just it is what it is, is like good for him. And I think that he has earned it. And I do think Spencer has been selfish this season in that sense. So I was glad Spencer apologized. However, I think that, yeah, Jordan was being really whiny. And I think that he should have apologized too. Maybe not for anything on the field, because I don't think on the field he's been doing anything wrong. I really do.
But I think for his behavior. Yeah. Yeah.
Things that they said to each other off the field, like in the birthday episode, I remember like certain digs going back and forth, you know, so it's like, and Spencer also deserved an apology, even if it's for off the field things that happened. Like, there was an apology to be had there, and certainly he didn't need to like be so obnoxious about it. So
yeah. And that's why it bothered me that they didn't clarify, because I think the full audience doesn't necessarily understand what happens on the football field, especially when they don't talk about it, don't understand like what happened in that last game. But I really wish they had actually had a conversation about like, hey, you know, throughout the early part of the season you were acting really selfish in these XYZ ways or whatever. Getting into what you're talking about, that like, again, I've never had a guy XYZ. So it just felt, I'm glad, because they weren't talking about those things, I'm glad that this issue resolved if they weren't going to talk about these things, writers.
I would have loved to hear Jordan just be like, you know what, I'm sorry too. And, you know, I just feel like after all this time and everything with Billy and you know, not that it's your fault, but like, it just, you know what I mean? Just exactly what you said.
Exactly.
Like, I would love to hear those things come from him, because that obviously, like, I think we don't go as deep with Jordan. Like, even earlier in the season when Layla was like, Liv is just, you know, grieving her dad and trying to move on. And Jordan's like, yeah, she's not the only one. Like, hello. Like,
yeah. You know? Like, Lily's, they give Jordan these moments, but they don't always go deeply into why he feels this way. And I just think that this was an opportunity for them to do that for Spencer and Jordan. Yes. And it just didn't, like, even though I appreciated the resolution of this specific story, I didn't love the execution of it, because, again, I think that they could have gone deeper and explained things 100%. In a much better way, other than just having Jordan be pissed off the entire episode.
Agreed.
Yeah. But that was this one. Quick predictions. We got like 2 minutes. Passing Me By is the next episode, season 6, episode 7, which, whew, we're already halfway through the season. With the new episodes, the 2 episodes that were added. But New Year's Eve, Spencer and Olivia are determined to ring in the new year together despite several interruptions that arise throughout the day. Elsewhere, Jordan gets advice on how to navigate a sensitive topic with Layla, and Asher comes clean to Jamie about a secret he's been keeping. Finally, patience is pushed to her limit. The episode was directed by Jess McCullen and written by Jameel Turner. Thoughts.
Okay, gonna rattle them off real quick. I can't believe it's New Year's Eve. That feels so weird considering it's May in real life. So it just, I'm just like, right. We have a Christmas. I can't even. Okay. And then Jamie, obviously Asher is going to tell Jamie about his heart condition because I don't think she knows. If I remember correctly, I recently interviewed Cody Christian and I believe that's what he said because I can't quite remember. But yeah, I think.
Okay, that makes sense because I thought that too. But yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Somebody was like, he's going to tell her about Wade. And I'm like, that doesn't affect her.
No, yeah, because he was like, when certain people find out, they're going to be really upset about his heart because I asked him about his heart. So I think that that's what it is because his friends know. Obviously, the football players know. So I think that's what that is. I think things with Layla are going to get a lot worse before they get better. And obviously Jordan's going to be involved in that. And then I think that Ashley is obviously going to be an issue, but I think it's going to work out in Splivia's favor in the end. I think that Ashley and Spencer are going to come to heads. I think Ashley might confess some feelings, but I don't think Liv is going to ultimately like be too conflicted. She loves Spencer. That's been clear. It is what it is.
Agreed. Do you think we're gonna get a guest appearance from JP?
I don't know.
I was gonna say in terms of Jordan asking advice, but yeah, those are our predictions. I think the same thing. I want us to see Ashley a little bit more. I would love for him to be in more episodes. But yeah, I don't think Ashley's gonna end up being a big problem. Yeah, health, patience. I just don't have any thoughts on that.
Yeah.
We might finally get a Jordan and Laura scene. Maybe, I don't know. I my hope for that is dwindling. But Jordan's gonna ask somebody about Layla. But those are our thoughts. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for the next episode. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me.